Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Manveen Rana from The Story, a daily news podcast from The Times. Join me and my co-host, Luke Jones, for a deep dive into the big stories and investigations. Plus, each month, William Hague hosts an agenda-setting interview with a key newsmaker or big thinker. That's The Story, The Times' daily podcast that brings you one remarkable story told in depth. Listen every weekday on The Times radio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Lawrence Dallaglio, and this is The Ruck, The Times and The Sunday Times podcast. Now, the country, of course, is still in lockdown, and we look likely to be in lockdown for at least another 3 weeks, if not longer. Sending out big love to everyone. I hope you're doing as well as you possibly can be in these crazy and difficult times. Please do continue to look after yourself, your immediate family and your close friends. Now, what do professional rugby players do in lockdown? Well, this week on The Ruck, we thought we'd find out. And who better to ask than England's most capped scrum half? I am talking about Leicester, England and the British and Irish Lions legend, Ben Youngs. And I had the chance to catch up with him a little while ago. Ben, first of all, happy Easter. I certainly wish it was a slightly happier Easter than we're all experiencing at the moment. We're in week three of isolation. Just give us an idea with Charlotte and your kids, you know, how things are for you personally.
Yeah, Lol. I mean, firstly, like I say, happy Easter, everyone. But it's been challenging in a way of, you know, we've got 4-year-old and 5-year-olds. So it's been hard. Front load the morning, just trying to give them a bit of homeschooling, but it's trying to keep them occupied and stimulated is a bit hard. But at the same time, for me, you know, I had the World Cup, I was away for 20 weeks. The Six Nations was a 7-week campaign. Obviously, we missed a week at the end there. It's actually really nice for me to have some time at home, catch up on all these jobs that I've been putting off for a long time, spend some time with family. So, I mean, week three, but, you know, it is what it is. Everyone's in the same boat. But I think the challenging thing really is just trying to fit training in when you can and what sort of training you can do.
I was going to ask you about training. I mean, obviously, there's pretty strict restrictions around what we're allowed to do. But within those restrictions, how are you managing to, you know, have you one of these guys that's got a gym, or you just got a little bit of outside space, you can do a bit of running? I mean, presumably you've been sent shed loads of training drills.
Yeah, it's always the fear, isn't it? As soon as you know what it's like, when you'd have time off back, you know, when you were playing, it's sort of like everyone panics that you're going to get too much out of shape. So so the important thing, I think, someone once said to me, the best way to keep in shape is to don't get out of shape. So luckily I've got some gym equipment at home, so I'm able to get a fair amount of that lifting done and all those key bits, and then just run, do a lot of running. So as being a scrum half, you know, you're ruck to ruck, you need to run anyway. So luckily I just get out and just run where I can. There's university pitches a stone throw away, so it helps that's around the corner, that I can go there and run up there and do all that. But yeah, the important thing for me is not so much the weights to a degree, just tick over on that, but really just keep the running volume high.
And I keep hearing about all these things that people are doing, like baking or gardening or you know, adding extra skills, clearing out their, you know, the sheds that they've been meaning to clear out for weeks but have never done it. I mean, have you been given a long list like I have?
Yeah, mate, I've had a fair few. The only problem is that all the dumps are closed, aren't they? So with the greatest ambition of putting everything to one side, but that needs to go. They've actually got nowhere to put it. So, it's a little bit challenging. But, I think during this time, I think, I should do something, you know, try and learn something, maybe do something really proactive. And I have the greatest ambitions to do that. But then my time is taken up between training. As soon as I get back, I'm trying to help with the kids. So,
well, to be honest, you've got your hands full. With your two kids. Just in terms of the wider rugby landscape at the moment, there's a lot of uncertainty. There's probably a little bit of nervousness out there. I'm obviously involved still a little bit with WAS, so I get to hear you know, some of the financial implications of what's happening across the board. No rugby, no income, but huge costs. Is there a, amongst the players, of which you're, you know, very much at the forefront of that, is there a kind of a fear, or maybe even a bit more of an understanding now that clubs are in a really difficult financial position? Because when the season was running, you had your head down, and I know what it's like as a player. You just go from game to game and you don't think about the future too much. But with all this uncertainty now, do you think the players are starting to realise that actually financially clubs aren't in a, in great shape at all?
Definitely, Lord. I think, you know, when you play, you're in it, and you don't really appreciate all the backroom stuff and everything that goes on behind the scenes and keeping clubs afloat. And I think when this came along, I think it was a real shock for not only me, but I know amongst the rugby community to see how many clubs, you know, do just go from game to game on survival. And Leicester's no different. You know, Leicester's got a great stadium, huge fan base, all of that. And we're no different to the other clubs. You know, we rely on the TV money. We rely on the fixtures, the people coming through the gate, spending the money. As soon as that's not coming in, it becomes a huge, huge problem. So, yeah, it is definitely worrying. You know, I think from the rugby's point of view, the sooner we can get a season going again, you know, it'll be peace of mind for the players, but obviously the club, which is the main thing. You want every club to survive. It probably shows that at the moment the products probably aren't working. I you know, we play a lot of fixtures, but by playing all these fixtures, is it diluting the whole thing? I'm not quite sure. I don't know the answers, but for me, I just think, you know, rugby's probably got an opportunity once it gets through this, through the other side, to maybe really look at changing the way it's done in the tournaments, and how do you make it more profitable for the clubs. You know, I don't know the answer there, but it certainly waved the flag of, right, we need to probably address a few issues across the whole league and worldwide as well.
Yeah, just on, I mean, we've had some, I totally agree with you on that. We've had some news in the last couple of weeks that Eddie Jones has signed a new contract. Do you think that gives a bit more clarity? I mean, obviously it was good news at a time when we needed a bit of news. Do you think that gives clarity and really helps England moving forward?
Definitely. You know, for me, I've always said that Eddie Jones is definitely the best coach I've ever had. I think, you know, when he, after World Cup, and he was obsessed with the World Cup for 4 years, and he came back off Six Nations. And, you know, I think as a player, you're always just curious to know what, you know, what he's thinking. No one knew if he's extending. No one knew with the World Cup. Sort of it comes around so quick after World Cup, the Six Nations. You know, what will his mindset be like? But you just saw that fire in his belly and desire and that twinkle in his eye of, like, you know, that just grit of wanting to go back out there and do it. And, you know, we had a terrible first game against France, or first 50, 60 minutes anyway. And then after that, we sort of climbed ourselves back in some form in the tournament. So I'm delighted not only for the team, but also for English rugby, because I just know that how good he is as a coach, and just how important he'll be for years moving forward, whether I'm there or not. You know, I don't make that decision, but I'm just delighted for the team. You know, I'm a bit older now, but delighted for the team and delighted for English rugby. I think it's fantastic. I mean, Lowell, do you look at Eddie and think that's a coach you'd love to have played under?
I look at it and think that's a really good appointment and a really good decision. I like him a lot. I've always liked him. I've got a lot of time for him. I might question a few things that he does if I was still playing. And I'd like to think that you guys get behind closed doors the opportunity to challenge him a little bit, because I've said, and this is only my own personal view, that the team seems to be the front face of the team seems to be very much about Eddie, which is fine. That's the way he likes it. But actually, I'd like to see the players and the personalities in the group get a bit more of a connection with the fans and get a bit more of a connection with the rugby public. And I was just thinking about, you know, I was 31 when I was lucky enough to win the World Cup. You're 30 now. You've obviously had a great relationship with Eddie Jones and the squad. He's said publicly that 40% of the current squad will be playing in 2023. Are you going to be part of that? I mean, 34 is not out of the question. Do you see yourself as being part of that 40%?
I think, you know what, when I get to this age now, and I'm not sure what your approach was, Lowell, but mine will very much be like a sort of focus on how I play week in, week out. I won't ever lose the desire to play for England. That won't ever go, because the joy it brings of running out there. But ultimately, when it gets to, you know, when I'll be 33, turning 34 in the next tournament, that's all you can do is be in the best physical shape you can be. Be trying to play your best rugby, and that's all you can do. And if that's not where it needs to be, then that's not where it needs to be. But I think one thing that teams will always need is experience in there, and scrum half is a position where you do need experience. But like I say, I won't lose the fire to try and be there. It's certainly something that, you know, I'd love to do, especially under Eddie, get another opportunity. But I mean, he's the boss and he makes those calls. All I can do is try and put myself in a position to be able to be selected, you know.
I want to talk to you about your career, because I was lucky enough to play 85, I think, times for England. God, I had a memory loss then. but you're on 99, which is a phenomenal achievement for anyone in any position. I think you've got 101 test caps, but at 99 for England, is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
And I mean, obviously, if you're stuck on 99 at the minute, you would have played. you would have played in Rome, and I'm sure you will get to 100, no doubt about that. I just want to talk to you about a couple of. I mean, we all know what it means to play for England. Well, those of us who have done it know what it means. Just give me a couple of highs and a couple of maybe or two highs and one low that you've experienced in those 99 caps so far.
Cool. Should we start with the lows first? Couple of lows. One of my biggest lows actually was 2011. Mm-hmm. Not the World Cup. We actually were playing Ireland for a Grand Slam in 2011, and I was sort of still fairly new to international rugby. And I remember the Ireland were sort of on top of us. They run to the corner. Someone chucks it inside. I catch it. I run into touch. I flick the ball behind my back. It goes into the crowd. Bryce Lawrence gives me a yellow card. I couldn't believe it. It was like 24 minutes into the game or something. Mm. And
I had a lot of those, so I know exactly how you feel, don't I?
Yeah. I think I've only had one yellow card, actually. That was the one. But off I went. And then I didn't get, that was in the first half. And then I didn't get put back on in the first half. And I remember that was a really challenging time. So I was, I think I was 20 at the time or 21. Yeah. And it was just sort of the first real sort of test of character I'd ever sort of adversity really faced. That one sticks out of me. 2015 was a real challenge. Just the whole, everything that happened, how it didn't, you know, it was home World Cup. You want it to be hugely successful. And when it wasn't, that was very hard.
What about the highs? Because there's been, in the last few years, there's been some
Unbelievable, exactly. And the highs, World Cup just being, of course, my goodness, I'd have loved to have won it, as we all would have. But it was still the best experience of my life. It was just a rugby life. It was amazing. The 2016 tour to Australia, where we whitewashed them, that was a fantastic tour to be a part of. The Grand Slam that year as well, the sort of unbeaten run under Eddie, making my playing alongside my brother internationally, and of course the Lions tour in 2013. So yeah, there's way more highs than lows, but I suppose you never, as people say, you know, kind of go through those lows to try and get through the other side. They are important.
Absolutely. And listen, you've managed to hold off the competition for 99 odd caps so far, which is a phenomenal achievement. You've obviously got a couple of people breathing down your neck, you know, the likes of Dan Robson and Ben Spencer. And it would seem that Eddie's sort of looking at the likes of Mitchell and Maunder maybe and one or two others. Obviously not your immediate competition, but give us an idea of some of the guys coming through that kind of have taken your eye a little bit.
No, definitely. All those names that you've mentioned, you know, Spenny and Dan have both accumulated a good few caps now, had a bit of international experience. You know, they're both players that I think are really, really sort of sharp around the ruck, especially Dan. I think Dan's really sort of electric around the ruck there. Ben obviously has a bit more of a control and kicking game, so it's quite nice. They're sort of different styles there. You've also got Maunders, the two brothers, one in the 20s and Jack. So they're some boys coming through there, Sam and Jack. You've obviously got as well Alex Mitchell, like you spoke about, who's been off with a long knee injury and he finally got himself back fit and was in the Six Nations squad. So without doubt, I think from my point of view, you know, you need these guys coming through. You want competition. You want guys that are challenging, and it keeps that fire in the belly. Especially, you know, when you're young and you're doing all the chasing, it's great. But when you're a bit older, you want that. You know, you want those youth guys coming in. You want those guys coming in that are absolutely full of energy, and it sort of gives you, you know, you sort of feed off that, and you think, right, I'm going to have to kick on again here.
Yeah, absolutely. I won't ask you too many more rugby questions. If you wanted to give a message to everyone out there, we're in a pretty serious situation here. We're in lockdown. I'm sure you, like all of us, are looking on in admiration at the job that the emergency services, the NHS and everyone is doing at the moment around the country.
Oh, definitely. I think, you know, almost these unite the nation to a degree, and everyone's sort of in awe of the NHS and everyone, all the medical staff and what they're doing, and their selfless acts of putting themselves at risk and on the front line. I think it's just incredible. And, you know, the clapping at 8 o'clock that we keep doing and all those bits, I just think it's so important. So everyone just stay safe, stay healthy. Stay in lockdown, do a bit of exercise just to clear the mind, and then back to whatever you need to do. But like I say, like you've touched on there, Lo, I think the NHS do an amazing job. So credit to them.
Well, listen, Ben, thanks very much for joining us. Really appreciate your time, and keep up the good homeschooling tomorrow and the next day. You've got maths and English first thing tomorrow morning.
Yeah, exactly. I think I'll leave it to my wife. She's a lot more academic than me, but.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.